Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So today's program is about the mercy of Allah. And as I explained before the break, we're going to end up 15 minutes earlier for our drama series, but we will inshallah complete the mercy of Allah. A little bit about our drama series, it's going to be in light with taming the tongue in Ramadan. And so this one is about mocking others and speaking about others. So do listen inshallah. So, going on to the mercy of Allah, we know that we've entered Ramadan now, and the mercy of Allah descends. And we know that the first 10 days especially, we read the dua for the mercy of Allah, Allahumma arhamni ya arhamar rahimin, O Allah, have mercy on me. But in order to have, to understand and to ask Allah for this mercy, we need to actually understand what Allah's mercy is about. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand that when Allah says, I will have mercy on you, what does Allah mean by that? And where does it all, what does it all come up to at the end? So let's start discussing what the mercy of Allah entails. Now, if you are a parent, or not only a parent, you can just be simply human, you will know that when you see graphic details of other children, or you see details or pictures on social media of children that have been abused or are in a very vulnerable situation, you notice that you get these feelings of rahmah, of mercy in your heart, that you feel like you want to protect this child, you want to put your arms over this child and love this child. And this is part of the rahmah that Allah has given us. But if you are a parent, then you have a rahmah that is very different. And parents will understand that if you have a child, from the time your child is born, this love that comes towards your child, this love that's there, it's unconditional, no matter what the child looks like, no matter how the child is. It becomes so unconditional, this love, that you would do anything, you would go to the ends of the earth for this child. And if the child is sick, you know that you will get up. If your person doesn't even like getting up at night or doesn't like to be disturbed, when you have a child, it's completely different. You get up for this child. When the child is sick, you see to them. When they're in pain, you feel as though you want to take that pain away from this child. So you need to understand this is rahm that's in your heart. This is a special bond. This is a special bond that Allah has given a mother for her child. And why I'm mentioning this is the word rahmah that Allah is bestowing upon us and that He's speaking about in the Quran. Rahmah comes from the root word rahm. And the interesting thing about this is rahm is womb. That's what rahm means. It means womb. So rahmah is derived from this root word rahm. And if we look at womb, what does the womb do? It protects. It protects this little infant. And if you are an infant in this womb, you don't have to see to your needs at all. You're protected, you're nourished, you're given warmth, you're treated as this bundle that's wrapped up in multiple layers and that's protected and every need is seen to. So this is the womb, this is what's taking place in the womb. And when the child is born, the mother is connected to this child in a way that she doesn't connect to anybody else. There's no one that can take the place of a child. So this word, Raham, it's specifically for the mother because there's no one, there's no love in this world like the love of a mother for her child. Not even a father will have this type of love for this child. So this is who Allah is to us, but 70 times more. Subhanallah. Can you imagine if you have so much of love for your child and you wouldn't want a little one thorn to prick that child? What does Allah's love look like? What does Allah's love encompass? Now these 10 days of Ramadan, these first 10 days, Allah is showering this type of rahmah on us. He's looking at us as these bundles. Picture Allah coming down and holding you, wrapping you up, protecting you and telling you that everything is going to be okay. It doesn't matter. I know what you did. I know that you've sinned, but my mercy encompasses everything. My mercy is going to wrap you up, and my mercy is going to take you out of the situation that you are in. Subhanallah, this is who Allah is. Allah is Rahmah. Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. An entire chapter in the Quran is called Surah Ar-Rahman. Allah is telling us so much about His mercy. And the beautiful thing is that an ayah that is so beautiful is when Allah says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say to His believing slaves, not just His believing slaves, His slaves that have transgressed, أسرفوا قل يا عبادي الذي أسرفوا على أنفسهم, who have transgressed themselves. That means you have sinned, you have transgressed yourself. لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله. Never ever lose hope from the mercy of Allah, subhanAllah. And we know when Allah wrote in the tablet, the first thing that Allah wrote was, my mercy will always overpower my anger. Subhanallah, Allah could have chosen anything to write, anything. And Allah chose that. Why? Because Allah knows that we are insan, and we are going to transgress, and we are going to sin, and we're going to fall flat on our faces, and we won't know how to pick ourselves up and how to look up at Allah again. And Allah knows this, so He chose this ayah to remind us over and over again, don't worry, my mercy encompasses everything, don't worry, I'm here for you, my mercy is everywhere. Don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. Allah keeps telling us, don't lose hope. You know, when we lose hope, it's a sign of shaitan. Shaitan has won. Because shaitan loves the fact that we lose hope in Allah. And Allah is constantly telling us, I don't want you. I forbid you to lose hope in me. As a servant, you should always have hope in Allah. How is it that we're going to go forward in life if we're not going to have hope in Allah's mercy? And Allah has 100 portions of mercy, of which only one portion is allocated to this dunya. Subhanallah, how beautiful is this one portion. And yet in that one portion, we can go endlessly speaking about Allah's mercy. Because there is so much. If we have to sit and count the blessings of Allah, we can't count it. There's every single day there's a blessing. When we get up, when we breathe, when we eat, when we smile, there is so much to look forward to, and yet Allah gives us more and more and more and more. And if we're going to understand this, we will never ever be depressed. Never. We will always thank Allah because we can see the ni'mas that Allah has bestowed upon us over and over again. And no matter what sin you have done, you know, it is now the month of Ramadan. And this is a time when we tend to think about all of the sins that we've committed in the past. So we think of, you know, long ago when we were little, or last month, or last year, or whenever. And you think of all these sins because now it's Ramadan and it's the month of forgiveness. So we constantly think about things we did either a long time ago or not very long ago. So these sins all come to us. And we sit with this remorse and this regret. So we start asking Allah for forgiveness. And as we ask Allah more and more and more, we realize that, oh my gosh, I have so much of sins. There's so much. How is Allah going to forgive me? But never think this, because Allah's mercy encompasses all things. Allah's mercy is greater than any sin you've ever committed. And think about that statement. Any sin that you've ever committed. So yes, a person who has murdered. Yes, whatever sin, zina, whatever it is, Allah's mercy is even greater than that. You've committed 100, 1,000 sins. Allah's mercy is greater than those 1,000 sins. Subhanallah, this is what Allah is telling us when He describes His mercy. It's love, it's kindness, and it's caring. Allah doesn't want us to go to Jahannam. The reason that Allah speaks about Jahannam is to tell us, this is what you need to avoid. It's not something I want to do. I love my servants, and if my servants come towards me, then I'm there for my servants. So this is our Allah, our merciful Allah, and this is who we need to remember when we are making dua, that Allah, you are most merciful. Now, if you are going to make dua and then you say Ameen, and then you carry on your life, and then you think, you know what, I have so many sins, I can't, you know, Allah is definitely not going to forgive this. Then Allah is who you think of Him. You know, Allah says, I am what my servant thinks of me. So if you think that my Allah is most forgiving, then Allah will forgive you. Trust Allah that He will forgive you. But the thing is that we need to be sincere in our forgiveness, in our repentance. So when we ask Allah, we need to be sincere that, Ya Allah, I'm really, really sorry about what I did. Ya Allah, whatever happened, I don't want it to ever happen again. I ask you to help me to change. But I sincerely and I'm really, really sorry about everything, anything that I did. I'm sorry. This is the type of repentance we need to ask Allah with. We need this type of heart that, you know, I need you, Ya Allah. I can't have anyone else. I don't need anyone else. I only need you. And you know, this month, Ramadan, is a month of forgiveness pouring down. It's not just something that's just, you know, it's just a month, one month in a year that we're going to do extra ibadah. It's a month where Allah has come to show us how much of mercy and forgiveness He has. So this month, forgiveness is going to pour down from Allah. And if you don't get it, then you have worked very hard not to get it. Because it's so easy, all you have to do is ask. So if Allah hasn't forgiven you in this month, it means that you haven't asked. You haven't even made the little effort of asking. And dua is difficult. Dua itself is from Allah. It's a gift from Allah. The fact that you can ask for forgiveness, that in itself is a gift. Because some people don't even have that. They can't even ask Allah for forgiveness. It's too much of an effort to sit and make dua. It's too much. So when you have this ability of asking and the ability of crying and repenting and asking Allah for His mercy, then you have something great indeed. When you fall off to sleep at night, think of Allah. Think of Allah, because Allah even has mercy on this person that falls off to sleep at night thinking of Allah. You know, when you sleep at night and you think of Allah as you sleep and you remember Allah, then you know you're guaranteed that Allah is thinking of you. If you're thinking of anyone else, you may be sleeping in your bed and your husband may be out of town. And he may be so far away and you're thinking of him. Do you have any guarantee that he is thinking of you? No, we don't. In his head, he's probably thinking, you know what, it's a nice time without her. I'm enjoying myself without her. But no, this is a guarantee we don't have. But one thing we do have is that when we are thinking of Allah, then we are guaranteed that Allah is thinking of us too. Look how great the relationship with Allah is. It never disappoints a mu'min. We are never disappointed when it comes to this relationship. And this is what we need to understand, that in our world, in our dunya, everyone is going to disappoint you. Everyone. But Allah is one thing in your life that's constant. No one else is constant. Today you're close to someone. Tomorrow, that person may be, you know, the person can't be bothered whether you're living or you're dead. But with Allah, it's such a constant thing that you think of Him and He's there. You take a step towards Him and He's running towards you. This is who Allah is. So why invest ourselves in relationships that are going to fail, when we can invest ourselves in Allah, invest it in the relationship with Allah? This is time and this is effort that will never ever go unrewarded. Never. Now, in this month, inshallah, we have to look towards Allah, find Allah, and ask yourself, who is my Allah to me? What is it? Because Allah is who you think, or what you think of Him. So ask yourself, that what does Allah mean to me? who is Allah to me? You know, when you say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Bi Rahmatika Astaghithu, O Everlasting, O Eternal, I beg you for your mercy. This is who Allah is. Allah is never ever going to reject you. Never. You know, there was a Sahaba in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he entered the masjid, and the Sahaba was sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you know, that man is going to enter Jannah. And the Sahaba didn't know what it is that was going to give him Jannah. So one of the Sahaba wanted to know, and he decided to accompany this man, and he asked him, can I accompany you and see what you do? And this man said, yeah, sure, you know, come with. And they went to this man's place of work and to his home, and he would eat his meal in the morning, and he would leave, and he was a shepherd and all of that. And at the end of it, this man watched everything, and he couldn't understand, like, what is it so special that Allah says Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that he's going to get Jannah. What is so special? So at the end, the Sahaba asked this man, you know, is there anything that you do that I'm not seeing? And the man says, no, nothing. So he says, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that you are going to enter Jannah. So I followed you and I accompanied you, and I can't see anything that you've done differently that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that. Can you think of anything? And this man says, no. And then he thought about it and he says, okay, there is one thing you may not know that I do. Before I go to bed every night, before I sleep, I forgive every single person that has harmed me or has done anything to me. I just forgive everyone before I sleep. Subhanallah. Now, can you see what gives you Jannah? This heart, this clean heart that was, this clean heart that went to bed clean, forgiving every single person for something that was accepted by Allah. Look at the state of this heart to forgive. How easy it is to go to bed and say, I forgive everyone. It's not. It's not easy. It's difficult when you think of what people have done. But when it becomes a habit, you sleep with a heart that's very light. Because you know that if I'm going to forgive others, then Allah is going to forgive me. Isn't that so? This is rahmah. We're going to forgive each other, then Allah is going to forgive me. What I want for myself, I should want for others as well. So I shouldn't hold things in my heart. And this is going to bring us to the next portion of our discussion, which is mercy on each other as human beings. So inshallah, after the break, we're going to speak about the mercy that one servant has to have on another, and the mercy of people in general, to have mercy on people, not only expecting mercy from Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program Productive Muslima with me, Suraya Chauhan. So we were speaking about the first 10 days of mercy, and particularly Allah's mercy for us as human beings, as insan, and we spoke about what Allah's mercy entails. Now, on this part of the program, we're going to speak about mercy on each other. Now, why we have to mention this is, when we expect something of Allah, when we expect mercy from Allah, then what do we expect? Then we should be able to give mercy to others, to have mercy on others, right? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Irhamu man fil ard, yarhamkum man fis sama. Have mercy on the ones that are on earth, then the one in the heaven will have mercy on you. Now, what does that mean? It means that we need to have mercy on those around us. So often we expect Allah to forgive all of our sins, the huge sins that we commit daily, over and over. We expect Allah to accept it just after asking once. But yet, the people that are near and dear to us, so the people that we are living with on this earth, we find it difficult to forgive them, to have mercy on them. And we need to understand that these are insan, and for Allah to have mercy on us, we need to start with them. Now, what better example than our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We know the story in the Battle of Uhud. After the battle, there was a lady named Hind, who had, after Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle Hamza was killed, him had mutilated his body, cut it into little bits and pieces and started wearing it around her neck as a necklace, just to show spite, you know, because of Hamza killing her family. This is what she did as a revenge. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw this graphic scene. And we can only imagine someone that's so beloved to us, like our parents, or picture your father, or someone, picture someone. And this is somebody that's close to you, and then you see a person mutilating this body of someone that you love, that you care about. And we can only imagine what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam felt. He cried at this scene. And years later, Hind had come to accept Islam. And you know, this is not something easy to forgive. And yet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam found it in his heart to forgive this woman. Why is it that we find it difficult to forgive each other? So we can't sit on Allah's throne and judge everyone. You know, no, she asked me for maaf, but you know, she wasn't sincere. We are not Allah. So what we can do is accept it, whether it's sincere or insincere. That's not up to us to decide. This is something that is only, the decision is for Allah, no one else. So we need to first understand that mercy begins with who? The ones that are closest to us. And those are the ones that we tend to be the most critical of. These are the people that we feel don't deserve any mercy. We must be hard on them. And honestly, it comes from a good place. Because as mothers, we expect our children to be perfect. We want Jannah for them. We want goodness for them. So when they disappoint us, we get very hard. We tend to be hard on them. And we forget, we honestly forget sometimes that these children are an amana from Allah. These children are given to us so that we can bring them up in the correct way. And our job as parents is to guide them. We forget that. We want perfection. And we forget that, you know what, we make so many mistakes that our kids don't see, and Allah forgives us, right? So let's remember this the next time and have rahmah on our kids. Rahm and rahmah is for everyone. What is the greatest act of mercy that Allah has given you? Ask yourself that. Do you thank Allah for His mercy? And this is something that you need to sit and think about. Is that how many things that Allah has given me that I haven't said thank you for? But yet every day when I'm making dua, I'm asking for more and more and more and more. But I've never actually thanked Allah. And how does Allah's mercy increase? How do you get Allah to increase His mercy? If you want Allah to send that mercy, that barakah, shower it upon you, how is it that you get it? By making shukr. Say Alhamdulillah. For every small thing, say Alhamdulillah. Don't take it for granted. When you get up in the morning, Alhamdulillah, if you got to school on time and you really didn't think you were going to because, you know, you were stuck in traffic and you get there on time, say Alhamdulillah. It's not a small thing. It's Allah, through Allah, that you've been there. There's so much to thank Allah. There's so many things that can go wrong. Then we'll start thanking Allah. Think about all the things that can go wrong in your life and acknowledge Allah. Acknowledge what He's doing for you. Acknowledge everything. Who is the greatest mercy in your life? For most of us, it would be a spouse, because Allah has given a spouse as tranquility. You know, when Allah created Adam and he was lonely, Allah created Hawa. And Allah said to Adam that Hawa was created for you as a tranquility. As tranquility, so that we sit. When you see your spouse, it's supposed to give you peace in your eyes, in your heart. Everything's supposed to be, this is your place, your haven, your comfort after a difficult day. This person is supposed to make you feel better just by looking at them. And this is the mercy that Allah has given. Because the spouse itself is a mercy. Right? So we don't need to look anywhere for Allah's mercy. It's there. It's everywhere. You don't have to look and search for it. It's around us in every single thing that we do. We have so much to be thankful for. You know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had so much of mercy on children specifically. That when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to perform his salah, his grandchildren used to jump onto his back when he was in frustration. He would lengthen that sujood. He would lengthen it just so that he doesn't have to get up to push them off him. This is the extent, the Prophet of Allah is actually lengthening the salah for a little kid. But this is the type of mercy that we were taught. His granddaughter, he would carry her during salah. Right? And one of the Sahaba said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that when he saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam embracing his grandchildren, and he said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you know, I have 10 children, but I have never kissed even one of them. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, he who does not show mercy on creation, no mercy will be shown on him. Now, even the orphans, we're supposed to, when we see orphans, take our hands and stroke their heads. This is mercy. This is rahmah. To such an extent that mercy doesn't just speak about having mercy on our family. Even our enemies have mercy on them. And mercy on animals as well. Right? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to have so much of mercy on animals that he said to the Sahaba, have you not heard that I've cursed anyone who branded an animal on its face or who hits it on its face? Now, this is when he saw one of the animals branded on their face and it upset him. So when we think of mercy, don't just think of every creation of Allah deserves mercy. Sometimes we think, it's just an animal. No, we're going to be answerable for these things to such an extent that even in our Qurbani, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked us not to sharpen knives in front of the animal because it causes distress. The poor animal, what is this animal going to go through seeing that it's going to be slaughtered? So for that, out of rahmah, mercy, let's put these knives behind or where the animal can't see, right? And these animals are creation, Allah's creation. So they have to be seen to. We know that even a lady that was, that went to Jannah just because she gave a cat water to drink. She showed mercy to Allah's creation. So this is the type of mercy we need to show each other, even with the animals, the birds, everything. We need to have mercy for each other. If we don't have mercy, how can we expect Allah to have mercy for us, on us? So remember, even in this month, remember having mercy on everyone. Especially when you are fasting, you sometimes tend to have a short temper and it's difficult. But when you look at each other, have mercy. When you look at your young child fasting, have mercy on this child in this month, even more than you will have in another month. Think of what the child is going through. Think of what a great sacrifice it is. Have mercy. Give the child extra. Give them gifts. Show them that you're so proud of them. This is all part of mercy. This is all part of knowing who Allah is. Have hope in Allah. Have hope in Allah's mercy, and this is going to teach us to have mercy on Allahumma rahmi ya arhamar rahimin. Allah have mercy on me. Allah is the most merciful of all those who have mercy, of all those who show mercy. Beg and ask. This is the month to beg Allah and to ask Allah to just shower and send down every bit. He introduced Ramadan to us. He's telling us about the Quran, but also telling us about this rahmah of his. And we won't be doing justice to much if we don't understand what Rahmah is about. We need to understand it's a form of love, excessive form of sharing, excessive form of Allah in His entirety is covering us. This is what Rahmah is. And we need to think about the Rahmah He has. Think about all of these things. Think about where you can be at with the mercy of Allah. Don't wait for it. Don't wait for Allah's start showering you with more and more and more and more and more. And don't feel that accept your forgiveness. Don't accept your repentance. Sorry. Don't think that it's not going to. Allah is always hope. You know, people, you will always disappoint people. They'll call you all sorts of names if you have to do one thing wrong. If you have to comment, it's the thing about it. And it's something no one, but with Allah, you guarantee that, you know, Allah has part and He's going to give you much more than ever bargained for, inshallah. So with that, and on that note, do you remember, have mercy on each other this Ramadan? And if there's anything we should understand is never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Until next week, Tuesday, inshallah, from 2 to 3.